But to take it even a step further to say, okay, if this is a love language, what is the icing on that cake?
Yes. And I think that's why we wanted to have this conversation. Yeah. Like, it's fun to share our own six love language, but really the point is, you know, how do we figure out what makes the people in our lives feel really loved? Because we are all so different.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller, Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand, and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
This week on More Than Small Talk, we are talking about the sixth love language. So no, that is not a typo. We didn't accidentally put the wrong amount of numbers. We are familiar with the book, The Five Love Languages. As a quick overview, The Five Love Languages is a best-selling book by Gary Chapman, where he shares how we each have one or two love languages. So when we're talking about that today, we're referencing that. And if you haven't read that book yet, we would recommend it. Or if you would like to take the quiz, you can Google Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages and find it that way. We'll also put a link to it in the show notes on klrc.com for today's episode. But Jennifer brought this to us. So Jennifer, how about you fill us in on what is a sixth love language?
I don't even know
language?
What this is.
Okay. So I think that he says there's five love languages, and I wholeheartedly agree, but I think there's like a missing one that each of us has that's different than everybody else's, that there's an extra way that we are shown love in a way that makes sense to us. And so there's affirmation, physical touch,
quality time,
and acts of service. And what's
gifts?
Gifts. Oh, yeah. Of course, that's like one of my favorite ones. I can't believe I forgot that. Yes. So there's all of those things, and that makes perfect sense that the way that we receive and show love fall into one of those categories, sometimes more than one. So the idea that there's a sixth one, and so maybe I'll just throw out what my sixth one would be, and it's always going to be sweets and snacks. Like, you can, like, I love cake. So if you show up and you give me, like, cake, I will immediately go, you love me. And I will say that out loud. I've done that to people. The sweet little teenager in my youth group, teenage boy, brought me a candy bar, and I held it like it was, like, gold, because I was like, teenagers, boys do not share food.
That's
I was like,
true.
That's true.
They do not share food. And he brought that to me. And I was like, he loves me.
Yes. I think that might be close to my sixth, because I once had a dream that a man in a white suit appeared to me. And he said, Holly, I have a mission for your life. And I looked at him and I asked, will there be snacks?
I love that.
And he said very seriously, yes. And I said, good snacks. Like, we don't want plain animal crackers.
No.
Like, that is not a good snack. Or rice cakes. I mean, if I'm going on a mission, I want good snacks.
Yeah.
Fuel, baby. What's a good snack for you?
Peanut butter and chocolate. That might be my sixth love language.
Okay.
Is peanut butter and chocolate.
See, I'm like taking notes. Like, I'm thinking,
right?
Okay.
See, this is helpful to know.
Yeah. If Jennifer has an off day, I'm going to show up with cake. If Holly needs something, there's going to be chocolate and peanut butter involved. So So I don't know my sixth love language. And I'm hoping that as we talk, it's going to kind of float to the top. I am not a snack girl and I'm not a sweet girl. I will always choose savory over sweet. And I like sweet and salty. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be food. I like good food.
Okay.
I wonder if your sixth love language is like silliness.
I think it is.
You know, so maybe one of the ways we can know our sixth love language is if it's something that we rehash in our mind over and over again, just because it brings us joy.
Yes.
And there are times that I can be with one of my littles. And so, for example, Luke and I got into a joke-telling contest. And I don't know if you've ever heard seven-year-old boys' jokes. Like, they're hilarious and silly and gross. And there's a lot of things involved. And we got so tickled that I literally was like laying back in my chair crying. I thought about that moment for at least a week after.
Yeah.
Like, it was like that brought me so much joy just that laughter and the silliness. And so maybe you're right. Yeah.
And you're saying that you send like funny pictures to your family. That's how they describe you.
When we FaceTime, they might get a nostril shot. You know, I think one of the funniest things is when you can just let loose and be goofy and have fun. So, yeah, Holly, look at you.
And she you just remark on that, like that. When we do something goofy, you're all like, oh, you did that in front of me. Like, you get really excited.
I do. Okay. So cute. All right.
I was telling them the other day when we were talking about these love languages and how before acts of service wasn't a big deal to me, it was more like words of affirmation and quality time. Well, after I had babies, I was like, I don't even care if you give me quality time, but if you do stuff for me, like, I feel loved. So it's just one of those like survival modes. So I do feel like different seasons in our life, we will need some of these love languages, things differently, and your people will need them. So maybe if someone's being beaten down and criticized, they're going to need more words of affirmation. So I think that these...
Jennifer's going to need cake.
I'm going to need some sweet words and some sweet cake.
Just sweet.
You know, like bring it on.
Sweetness all the way around.
This is just like... the icing on the cake. I mean, that seems like a pun. But so here you have it. And Gary Chapman, thank you for writing this amazing book. It's been on the bestseller list forever. And so if you're listening, we are willing to be co-writers with you on book number two, just if you want on this topic, on love language number six. But I am thankful to hear ways that I can speak into that love language into my friends. I think it's a good conversation
to have. It is a good conversation. And so maybe if you're having hard things in your relationships, ask these questions. There's a test online that you can even go on to that's free to take this and know yourself better. I forget that I'm super self-aware, but a lot of people aren't. And so that's totally okay. Take this quiz and find out what shows you love and then make your people. Like if someone's a mystery to you, go, could you like take 5 minutes or like ask them some questions?
Yeah. Well, but Jennifer, you said something that recently you said that you would give and give and give in your love language, right? And then you were a little bit frustrated because maybe somebody whose love language was very different wasn't giving back in that same way.
So gifts, I love buying people gifts. I also love receiving them, but I was buying people gifts, especially my husband. Like to him, he's like, how much did that cost? That is not the best way for me to love him at all. But that was, you know, it made sense to me. So even having that realization that, in my mind, I was loving him. In his mind, I was like costing him money. So I think that that's fair and valid. But
but 100%. To not only explore this, but to take it even a step further to say, okay, if this is a love language, what is the icing on that cake?
Yes. And I think that's why we wanted to have this conversation. Yeah. Like it's fun to share our own six love language, but really the point is, you know, how do we figure out what makes the people in our lives feel really loved? Because we are all so different.
We are. Well, and we live in such a busy culture, and one of my top love languages is absolutely quality time, which again ties into the silliness and the goofiness because that comes with intimacy. But there's something that Richard does that I'm really thankful for is that when I approach him, no matter what else is going on, I'm always welcome in his presence. And that means a lot to me.
I love that.
So looking at maybe him or a daughter or a friend or whoever and saying, okay, I'm going to tune in to what their love language is, but what is the next level on that? What is something small, extra that I can tune into?
Yeah, and in a way that's really freeing because I think we can think love is this big thing and it's always about grand gestures or, you know, there's all this music playing in the background or whatever. But really, it's like love
when
is in the small things, whether it's a child or a friend or a sister or a spouse, like love is in the small things.
Well, and I had this moment with my mother-in-law who is precious. One day it just dawned on me. She was helping me clean and do dishes, and then she was helping me fold laundry and doing these little things. And I looked at her and I said, is this your way of showing love? Is this acts of service? And she was like, yes, this is how I show love. This is how I serve my family. And in that moment, it wasn't that I was messy and juggling all these things and couldn't clean my house. It was that she loved me enough to clean the counter.
But it also helped you understand her, because that very same gift that she gave could be perceived and say, oh, does she think that my house is messy? Or no, this is a woman who loves you enough that says, here's a mom that's pulled in 1,000 different directions, and I'm just going to come in and I'm going to do something for her.
And it's such a gift to know that and understand that. Yes, I love that. But it was like this thing that connected me to her even more. So I think that that's the whole point of this topic. So what can help us better understand our people and love them better?
I think that example you gave, you know, when someone does something for us, acts kindly toward us in any way, look if there's a way to translate it to, I love you.
Yes.
Like my husband is very practical, and like he will change the windshield wipers on my car. And that is Mark writing me a love poem, you know, and it took me a while to realize that. But now when he does that, I stop and I think, okay, this is him saying, I love you. Where, you know, if I don't know that, then I can construe it as like, oh, he takes care of the things around the house, but he doesn't, you know, say the mushy words. But actually, he is saying it just in his own language.
Yeah. And Mark, just so you know, the windshield wipers on my car are really shot.
And it is helpful, right? I mean, without him, I would be in jail for tax evasion. I would constantly like have expired tags on my car. I would have my water shut off because I would forget to pay the bill. I mean, he helps my life run so much better.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to not hear that in the way he intends it.
Well, and I think we need to share our needs too.
Right.
Because we assume, like, I'm sitting here and I'm learning little tiny things that I can use with my friendships that just are so tiny. And so for me to be able to say to someone that I care about, like, if I'm at this pace where I'm not getting any quality time or downtime with the people that I love, I get wound up and I get overstimulated, and I need downtime. I need silliness. I need to be able to just laugh and not worry about all the other things that are going on. And if I don't have that and I don't tell anyone that, and they're extroverts and they think this is all awesome, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And that's like with Mark, I will literally say, can I have some encouraging words? You know, if that's actually what I need right then.
Yeah.
And it's been so helpful to be thinking, like, not have the expectation that he's just going to figure that out automatically. Yeah. And it's the same with me and his love languages. Right. You know, I'm not saying like, I'm fluent and he isn't. It's just that we have different ones. Yeah. And so there are times when he says, you know, Holly, let's go do something together or whatever it is that he needs to feel loved. So I think it's a relief, though, to say no one's a mind reader.
No.
You know, and so it's okay to translate, but there are also times when we need to actually say it.
We do. We do. And not a long list, just something small. Here's something small. I can just imagine, Jennifer, you looking and just saying, I need some cake.
I know, right? I mean, that's cheap and easy. Like,
seriously, I'm so easy to please right now. You give me a cupcake, bam.
It doesn't have to be a whole cake. It can be a cupcake. I just need a cake.
Yes. Yeah. So you know that I'm a stress eater. So.
Do you know I have like a whole cake in my car right now?
What?
I do.
That's dangerous.
I know. I bought it because we're having this big thing tonight for my husband's birthday, but I like have a whole cake in
my
house. Watch out. I was like, do you have forks in your car?
So if we get practical, you know, and we say, what's one step we can today, hopefully in 5 minutes or less, to help us just love the people in our lives well and help them love us back? You know, what can that look like? And I think one might be asking this question of your spouse and your friends and your coworkers, like whoever in your life that you would like to know a bit about, you know, to say, hey, like, what do you think your sixth love language is? What really gets you excited that might be unique to you?
Yeah. And I think defining it for yourself is really important so that you don't go into a long monologue about what you need instead of being able just to say, I just need 15 minutes of downtime. To articulate that to yourself so then you can turn around and articulate that to someone that you care about, because then it's not overwhelming. It's like, oh, I can give you cake. Right. I can give you chocolate and peanut butter. You know, yeah. I can give you 15 minutes. That's doable.
Right. So I was thinking about that because it's asking that question. So starting the conversation, another thing was just to make sure, like that one day in 5 minutes, you could make a deposit into someone's love tank. That's kind of, it talks about this. And my husband needs, like, okay, you make a deposit.
Into their love tank
by loving them. So, like, you getting me a fork in the back of the car wherever you got that cake, you know? Okay. Yeah. But, you know, just like making a deposit, like loving people is so fun. Yeah. So to do that for someone and invest in them in the way that they, makes sense to them, that's fun. That's doable.
And I think, too, that sometimes the way we can love people well is to do that sixth love language for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we talked last time about how loving yourself is awkward. If you haven't heard that episode, I'd say go back and listen to it. But, you know, it's maybe you give yourself the 15 minutes or you stop by the bakery. Yes. Or, and yes, absolutely. We're to be in one another relationships where we are, you know, serving each other. But I think sometimes just saying, you know what, this is a need I can meet for myself. Yes, I need 100%. A nap. I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love naps.
Yeah. That might be my sixth love language, actually. Yeah, naps. Mark will even do that. Do you want me to take you in for a nap? And I'm like,
so, see, Mark.
It's probably he just needs to catch his breath. But yeah, it comes across as loving.
Yeah, that's really good. So what's next for us?
Well, we are working on some exciting new things, so we hope you'll continue to listen to each episode. And if you are a new listener, please go back and catch up on all the episodes in the past. You can do that on klrc.com.
And please leave your message, like leave us a message on their website about what your sixth one is, because we want to hear from you, and then we could have some really fun conversations with you because of that.
So you're sitting in that fourth chair, and friends hang out in a lot of different places, so we want to invite you to hang out with us in a new place, as well as please go to klrc.com first. But we would love for you to connect with us on Instagram. And so I'm just going to share really quickly how that you can find each of us on Instagram. Jennifer Watson is just that. You find her at Jennifer Watson. Holly Girth is at Holly Girth. Now, I had to go in and make it a little more complicated. It's at Suzanne.Eller. Please come and visit us, connect with us, let us know who you are, and let's just continue to grow together.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available through the More Than Small Talk page at klrc.com. You can subscribe to More Than Small Talk through your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.